I'm Shanae Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Welcome into the Fantasy Football Mailbag, a RotoViz podcast. This is the November 13th episode, and as always, we remain dedicated to answering all of those fantasy football questions. I'm your host, Mike Randall. You can follow me on Twitter at RandallRan. And today we welcome in someone I've always wanted to have on the mailbag, Graham Barfield, the co-owner and director of analytics at fantasypoints.com. Graham is one of the premier fantasy football minds in the industry. He's been turning out superior content for many seasons at some of the top sites around. You've seen it at RotoWorld, Fantasy Labs, Fantasy Guru, and the NFL Network. Now he's at Fantasy Points, and he has that elite analytical mind. He's the creator of the yards created measurement, which is a foundation of fantasy football projections across the industry. One of the best in the business. Please follow him on Twitter at Graham Barfield. Graham, an honor to have you on the mailbag. Thanks so much for coming aboard.
Yeah, of course, man. Happy to be here. And I don't know if I can live up to that intro. That was a hell of an intro you just gave.
Of course you can, man. You've been doing so much great work and has really been sort of a staple of decision making, seasonal, DFS, dynasty across the board. So it's really great to have you on. I loved how you made a decision a short time ago to fulfill one of your life goals and talk about owning your own business, and you put your words into action. Fantasy Points has taken off and you're doing amazing work over there. Talk about how it got started and how things are going with John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and the entire Fantasy Points crew.
Sure. Yeah, it definitely has been a dream come true for me. I always went into this wanting to start my own site, and just so happened that, you know, situation came up where, you know, I'd worked with John and Joe and Tom Browley and Ben Kukanis, who's our director of operations at Fantasy Guru, for like 2.5 years. Took a job with the NFL. Took a little detour there, but we just kind of came back together a couple years ago, and or maybe last year, I guess it was. Now this year feels like it's been 3 years. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, seriously.
This year has been like 3 years in one. So anyway, it was like last year, late last year, and yeah, we just kind of got our minds together. You know, Scott had been you know, working, doing great work at PFF for a number of years, and I always wanted, we Scott and I always tried to work together, and it just so happened that both of us could team up and you know, form this site with John and the guys from Guru. And you know, we've also got Greg Cosell and Adam Kaplan in the mix, two great NFL minds. Cosell is like legitimately the best film analyst out there. It's not even close. So yeah, we're really excited and excited that everything's going so well.
Well, listen, you've always been ahead of the curve. Some of my favorite analytics to consider when you make your projections or season-long decisions. The yards creative metric is a great example, but I feel like the general fantasy football landscape is slower to gravitate towards those certain statistics that can play a large part in the weekly start sit dilemmas. The one, Graham, that comes to mind is, you know, we're always talking about regression, but there is now a thing with positive regression that people have caught on to. It's not always negative, even though the word has a negative connotation. You write a weekly pace points article for the site, and I think that that's really an underrated critical factor that can affect fantasy football in so many ways. So I'm curious, how does pace of play, team pace of play, factor into your weekly projections?
Sure. You know, that's something that I've been trying to incorporate more into just my weekly analysis, is like just game environments, right? And which teams, you know, which teams play fast, which teams play slow, and how that affects those game environments. Because, I mean, I know we like to look at season long totals, but I mean, this is a weekly game, and you know, that's the way I view fantasy. You know, I play a bunch of season long leagues, play a bunch of best ball, but make no mistake, I mean, this is a weekly game, and every game is different. Every game changes. So for me, like, pace of play is incredibly important. I'll just give one example. Like, last year, Washington was one of the slowest teams in the NFL. They actually averaged like a league low, like 55 plays per game. But this year they've really upped their pace with their new offensive coordinator, Scott Turner. They're playing a lot faster. They're, like, you know, been consistently in the top half of the league in pace of play and basically every game situation, and their plays are way up. And it's a big part of the reason why Terry McLaurin has been so consistent. He's seen 20% or more of his team's targets in every single game this year. So, knowing that certain teams are going to play faster and get off more plays per game can definitely help you from just, you know, a game-to-game perspective. It also helps, you know, to identify some of those slower pace games that are going to, you know, have less plays. Like this week, the Packers and the Jaguars are playing, and both those teams, especially the Jags, just play so slow. And
yep.
The Jags play slow for obvious reasons. They're just trying to limit their defense and limit the overall play volume in their games. But yeah, I think it's definitely one of the more underutilized forms of analysis in fantasy right now.
Definitely. A follow-up I want to talk to you about McLaurin. A lot of questions that I get on a weekly basis are the argument of getting such a large target share versus going up against a tough defensive matchup where the defense is going to limit that production. I think it's happened around Julio Jones so many times, right? So, like, last week, Calvin Ridley was out. So the question was, is it a smash week for Julio, or is the defense simply going to double him and focus on him? How do you weigh that, you know, when you're talking with a guy like McLaurin? Like, for example, he has been such a target hog. I think I saw a stat out there. He's one of the only receivers who's had, I think, 20% target share each week, something like that. How do you weigh those two factors of, we want our players to get targets, but if they're, quote, the only game in town, does that factor in at all, or should it?
Yeah, it definitely factors for sure. And, you know, obviously Washington's quarterback situation has been the bigger concern, in my opinion, for the last 2 years. But, you know, with a player like McLaurin, you know, they're using him all over the field. So like last week, James Bradbury shadowed him on the outside. And James Bradbury has been playing pretty well this year for the Giants. But, you know, Washington moves McLaurin all over the field. They move him into the slot nearly 30% of the time. And most of the time, corners, outside boundary corners, do not go into the slot because it's a totally different position. So I think it's a little bit, you know, for sure, like there's definitely games and certain teams that just scheme to take away a player, you know, a team's top receiver. But, you know, a lot of smart offensive coordinators move their best receivers into the slot to kind of get them away from the boundary corners that might be shadowing them, or just get them a good matchup against linebackers in certain sets. So, you know, it's one of those things where it really just depends on, you know, the team that they're playing, and, you know, just knowing that, you know, most receivers move around quite a bit. You know, it's very rare. You get DK Metcalf and DeAndre Hopkins that are just staying on one side of the field most of the time. But in general, teams' top receivers are moving around quite a bit, and those teams get them in the best matchups possible.
I have a question here from Colin in Pittsburgh. My Steelers are 8-0. They keep rolling along. I feel like there's so much uncertainty, though, with the Steeler receiving options on a weekly basis. With trade deadlines approaching usually next week, next Monday, Tuesday, how does Graham prioritize the Pittsburgh wide receivers moving forward? So Deontay, Juju, Chase, and of course, Eric Ebron's now an every week starter, we think, it probably in a brutal tight end fantasy pool. So obviously Pittsburgh scoring a lot of points, Ben not taking the deep shots, but certainly the offense is humming. How do you view those three receivers and Ebron now moving forward?
Yeah, I think Deontay's the one. You know, if you want to call it the 1A, that's fine. But, you know, we now have, what, 4 games this year where he's seen 10 or more targets when he's been, like, fully healthy. You know, started off the season obviously hot with 10 and 13 targets. You know, had a big game against the Titans, then, you know, died against the Ravens. I think he was banged up in that game. He never really left early, per se, but he was banged up. And then last week against Dallas, got another 10 targets. You know, Juju, when... It's interesting because the Steelers are very game plan specific. Like, they don't do the same things every week. They're not like the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs can just, because Patrick Mahomes is a cheat code, they just throw to Tyreek Hill, they throw to Kelsey, and they just murk everybody. The Steelers do things differently. Like against the Ravens, they spread the Ravens out and played a bunch of four wide receiver stuff. This past week, they kind of got back into some more like 12 and 11 personnel stuff. But in general, I think Deontay's their one. Juju is basically just a complementary piece to this offense at this point. And then Claypool, you know, they do a bunch of fun things with him, moving him all over the formation, you know, giving him backfield touches, you know, on jet sweeps and stuff. I think it's Deontay, Claypool, and then Juju. And then, yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, tight end is a disaster once again. And pretty much anybody with a pulse and a touchdown, like upside, is in play at this point.
Oh, that's so true about tight end, Graham. We have TJ Hockenson, who we all liked preseason. I believe he's the overall tight end 3 right now. He does not have a ton of receptions. He's just getting those touchdowns. So it's amazing. I mean, this is really a Travis Kelce statement is what it is. I mean, he's going to be a fantasy league winner this year, Kelce.
Oh, yeah, he already is. I mean, Kelce, I looked this up yesterday. It was either the 6th or the 7th most fantasy points per game for a tight end. He's on a historic pace right now. Yep. And pretty much everybody else is not. I mean, you know, Ertz was really bad before he got hurt. Kittle has obviously been banged up all year. I drafted a bunch of Hockenson in best ball, so I'm happy about it. But even then, like it's not even that big of a deal because there's pretty much nobody, you know, performing above expectation at the position besides Kelce.
Yeah, very true. I wanted to get your thought on some critical injuries from last week that could open up fantasy options as we approach the stretch drive now. David Montgomery, I think he is the most polarizing player, although it's leaning towards just negative with David Montgomery, but he stays healthy and he gets volume, so he's in people's lineups. I love the Danny Kelly post that you retweeted from 2 weeks ago. If you need 8 fantasy points, Montgomery will get you 10. If you need 20 fantasy points, Montgomery will get you 10. Well, he's got his concussion now, week 10 in jeopardy. There's Ryan Nall, Cordarrelle Patterson, should I even say Graham Lamar Miller, lurking in the background. Curious, handicap this backfield here. What do you think moving forward?
Oh my God, man. I mean, the biggest problem right now is their offensive line. I mean, they've just fallen apart. I mean, last week, I think they were without like 4 of their 5 starters. A couple guys were out due to COVID. They've just been blown to bits because of injuries. They were without Bobby Massey last week too. I mean, it's been brutal. I guess it's going to be Cordarrelle Patterson is like the 1A and then Ryan Nall on the early down stuff. I mean, they did give Cordarrelle Patterson a few more carries last week. I read a report that they're going to do it on Sunday morning and kind of scoffed at it, but they actually did. I don't know, man. I really don't know. I mean, really, we weren't excited to play Montgomery in general. And if he misses this week, it's not going to be pretty.
It's so frustrating, Graham, because he's one of the few guys that's tradable that you could probably get if you so desired. Detroit, Houston, at Minnesota, at Jacksonville, week 13 to 16. You can't get a better fantasy schedule than that, but you do have to be able to actually make people miss tackles. So really interesting to see what's going to go on there. Ryan Nall actually did a nice job out of the backfield, so who knows what's going to happen this week. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account anytime, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/podcast. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th.
I'm Dave Cabin, host of the RotoViz Fantasy Football Podcast. I wanted to take a moment to thank you for supporting RotoViz Radio. We love producing these shows, and we hope that you love listening to them. As a thank you, loyal podcast listeners can get 10% off of a 1-year RotoViz subscription by using the promo code 2020RVRadio at checkout. We have some of the very best tools, articles, and analysts in the business, and can't wait to lead you on the path to greatness. If you haven't done so yet, Do us a favor and take a minute to rate and review this podcast. Thanks again for listening. Now let's get into the show.
Duke Johnson. We love Duke Johnson as fantasy analysts. We always have. Every year it's free Duke Johnson. David Johnson now in the concussion protocol. Can we free him this week against Cleveland?
Hey, it'll be a revenge game too if we get
yes,
it.
Yes.
Yeah, the ghost of Hugh Jackson lives on in Cleveland. Duke's going to go there and be real angry. I think Duke Johnson will be a fine RB too. I mean, they really don't have anything else behind them. Last week he got 20 touches, got the inside the five carry and converted it. I mean, Duke Johnson's been really good. I mean, he's very good out of shotgun. That's where Houston mostly plays. No David Johnson be a nice little runway for him to get pretty strong usage, 16-18 touches against a pretty bad Browns front seven. So I'm excited about Duke week. I hope we get it.
I'm very overly optimistic about the Eagles. I've said all year that I think the Eagles are going to win this division. The NFC East, of course, right now, putrid, somebody trying to step forward. I just believe in their talent. They've been decimated by the injuries. Miles Sanders is going to be back soon. The wide receivers are getting healthy. Down the stretch here, they end up having the Giants, then they're Cleveland, then Seattle, of course, is going to be a good one. Green Bay, New Orleans, Arizona, and Dallas again. So I just see there's opportunities here for the Eagles, Graham. Am I nuts? And also, what do you think about Travis Fulgham? Because he was a guy who got plugged in, did a nice job, but now that these receivers are getting healthy, Rager, Alshon Jeffrey, I don't think Fulgham's going anywhere.
I don't think so either, man. I think he's going to stick as their boundary X receiver. I think when Rager, Rager's obviously back now, but once he gets like a full role, he's just going to be the flanker and slot guy. And as they should, I've been saying this to the guys, but like Fulgham to me looks kind of like a mini Kenny Galladay. Like his releases, for his size and his releases off the line of scrimmage, man, he's really freaking good. It's funny, like, it's funny because like the NFC East is just such a joke this year. The Eagles could win seven games and have the tie and still like cruise in. So they'll definitely be in the mix come December.
Oh, Jerry must be so furious down in Dallas. I mean, the defense has been terrible. They just lost the cornerback this week now. I mean, that's got to be driving them crazy because the talent disparity, Graham, with the Cowboys and everyone else is just so large in that division.
Yeah, it is. And, obviously they went all in on all these receivers. And for the first 5 weeks, it was amazing, man. Like Cooper was the wide receiver one. Lamb was trending towards a low end wide receiver one. And then obviously we got the splash out of Gallup. But yeah, it's just falling apart for them.
Yeah, Gallup's been one of the most disappointing people. A lot of potential there coming into the season. I'm curious, favorite band or group to listen to when you're working out or jogging? You're trying to get a music theme going here. What's your go-to?
Well, first and foremost, I hate jogging. I did it on Monday and reminded myself how much I hate it. I don't know, man. Like the gyms, I'm out here in California and they've been for worse. Yeah, they've kept all the gyms closed. But when I do get back in the gym, usually like Deftones, Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah,
it depends on like what I'm doing, but usually like Deftones, Rage, Smashing Pumpkins, stuff like that.
Fantastic. One of the great stories of the season, of course, the comeback of Alex Smith from the brutal leg injury and all the surgeries he went through, which were documented on ESPN. Incredible story. Kyle Allen's going to be out now. It looks like it's going to be Smith moving forward. I'm curious how that affects JD McKissick, McLaurin, and Logan Thomas. McKissick, captain check down there, Alex Smith. He has been peppering McKissick with targets ever since he came into the game 2 games ago, and last game was huge as well. But McKissick, McLaurin, Logan Thomas, I mean, we're looking for somebody in tight end. Could Logan Thomas actually, step forward here and be consistent? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think Smith taking over is going to be good for McKissick. I mean, for better or worse, like, they aren't playing Antonio Gibson on passing downs. It's been like McKissick running pretty much double the routes and double the targets over the last 5-6 weeks. He's basically like going to be Smith's Spinky. And we know Smith is not a very aggressive down the field thrower, but that's okay. I mean, Terry McLaurin isn't really getting a ton of downfield targets. And when he does, they've been really inaccurate. So hopefully Smith can provide a few more accurate passes on, you know, those 15, 20 plus yard looks. And yeah, I mean, Logan Thomas, man, like we talked about it with Eric Ebron, like, you know, if your guy is in line to get 4 to 6 targets and he has a reasonable chance for a touchdown, he's definitely in play.
Yeah, I agree. They're desperate looking for anyone. And I think this could actually help them because Smith's a veteran, consistency. Like we said, the division isn't great. So, I mean, there's opportunities here if you're looking for a player. And down the line, Smith may be able to give a little boost to a Washington offense that does have some explosive playmakers, that's for sure. One of the biggest surprises to me is the Jonathan Taylor effect or lack thereof. I mean, I was so high on Jonathan Taylor, slipped out of the first round in draft, didn't bother me at all. I understand he didn't go early like Saquon did, but the talent profile, the workout metrics are there. And I remember that picture we saw Graham preseason. He looked like a linebacker. I mean, he running with the ball. I mean, it really was positive. And then when Marlon Mack went down, we all thought it was going to be wheels up for Taylor, but it does seem that Jordan Wilkins is now an issue. I am curious, where are you on Taylor rest of season? And then talk about dynasty value with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who obviously had a great opportunity, but they did bring in Le'Veon Bell, so that's a bit of a 50-50 backfield. So talk about Taylor this year and then compare long-term with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Who do you like better?
Yeah, I mean, I was just like you. I was just as high on Jonathan Taylor pretty much as everybody. Adam is my number one running back coming into the draft. I mean, the dude was just like looking like one of the best prospects of all time. I mean, he had over 2,000 yards from scrimmage back-to-back seasons. Started to get a little bit more involved in the passing game out of at Wisconsin. And this year, you know, just the things that I saw on film, you know, out of him at Wisconsin just really haven't been popping. He's kind of running tentatively behind the line of scrimmage, just not seeing the field well. And one of the things that I loved with him at Wisconsin is just, you know, there is no tentativeness. There is no, you know, happy feet behind the line of scrimmage. You know, he was just explosive when he saw a hole. And, I think Frank Reich loves to have a committee backfield and loves to mix it up. But, you know, they're playing Jordan Wilkins quite a bit. Naheem Hines is not going to go away this year. I thought once Marlon Mack was out for the season, Taylor was going to be a league winner. It was, you know, Colts offensive line. Taylor's now the RB1, but now, you know, he's not played well. He's just simply not played well. I mean, if you look at yards after contact, missed tackles, forced per touch, he's at the bottom five of the league out of like 50 plus qualifying running backs. Jordan Wilkins is just outplaying him right now. And, you know, long term, I'm not super concerned about Taylor. I think this is like one of the best windows we could have to buy both Taylor and CEH. Mac is going to be a free agent after this year, obviously coming off an Achilles injury. And I think Le'Veon Bell is just a 1 year rental for Clyde. The good news about Clyde is the Chiefs can keep him for that fifth year option. So he still technically has 4 years. 4 years of dynasty RB1 potential with Mahomes back there. I still like Clyde Edwards-Helaire more than Taylor, but yeah, this whole rookie running back class has not been great to start on.
Yeah, you know, and if you had told me, Graham, when we were starting at the beginning of the year, if you had said to me, look, Jonathan Taylor at this point in the season is going to actually have 178 receiving yards, which will be 18th among running backs, and 20 receptions, which isn't a ton, but it's a little bit, because that was the big question coming in, is he going to be involved in the receiving game? I remember him getting interviewed and he's saying, look, I can be a receiver. I can do more than people are giving me credit for. That hasn't been the problem. The problem has been with his vision behind what we thought coming into this year was one of the top offensive lines in football.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That offensive line really hasn't been playing that well. Like, you know, they came into the season, obviously, you know, I did some offensive line rankings before the year, and I think I had them in pretty easily, like top two or top three. Their run blocking has just not been good. If you look at Football Outsiders metrics, you know, the Colts are 25th in adjusted line yards right now. They're having a few more plays stuffed behind the line of scrimmage than you'd expect. If you look at some of their PFF stuff, it's the same thing. They just really haven't been the road grading offensive line that we expected, and Taylor's kind of struggling to see things back there. It's just not a good combination.
Seasonal week 10 waiver wire pickups. Get your thoughts on some plays because certainly it is sort of drying up here as we get towards the end of the season. Can we believe Graham and Nelson Aguilar? Is that possible here? He came off a donut, though, but rewarded people who believed in him. Not a ton of receptions, but did get the touchdown there from Derek Carr. Nelson Agholor, wide receiver one out there with the Raiders?
Oh, boy. yeah, they just – I don't know, man. It's good to see Agholor like playing well. You know, he had such a struggle in Philly, so many ups and downs. They don't really, I mean, outside of Waller, they don't really have a number one. Brian Edwards got back healthy last week, too. They're just not giving the ball to Henry Ruggs. They spread it around, man. After Waller, they spread it around. But right now, Agholor is definitely looking like they're more the most consistent receiver that's not Darren Waller.
Austin Hooper, sort of the forgotten top 10 drafted tight end this year in seasonal leagues. He was always around tight end 6-7 there in a lot of the mock drafts that went on before the season started. He's coming off the emergency appendectomy, probably as good as we're going to get. I'm sure he was picked up. He was under 50% owned in Yahoo leagues coming into this week, but he's probably over that now. I think that's a pretty sneaky one. Probably your best option out there, especially with OBJ now out.
Yep, no, for sure. You know, targets started to come up too before Beckham got hurt. And yeah, I mean, the Browns are going to run a bunch of 12 personnel. They run a lot of two tight end stuff. So Hooper will see the field quite a bit. Yeah, it's going to be Landry and Higgins on the outside. And then, you know, Hooper and, you know, they'll probably mix and match Bryant and Njoku. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you can get a tight end with, like I said, you know, reasonable expectation to see volume and decent chance at the touchdown, they're in play. I think if Hooper's out there, you gotta go get him, because really, I mean, it's so bad, man. Like, it's so bad. Like Hayden Hurst is like 5 catches for 50 yards every week, and he's like a top 5 tight end lock. It's just, it's crazy.
Oh, I totally agree. Next, let's talk about Mike Davis. So listen, Mike Davis steps in for Christian McCaffrey with the injury and really does an amazing job. Week 3, overall PPR RB9. Week 4, overall RB7. Week 5, overall RB1 there. Had the massive game there against Atlanta. Week 6, still RB PPR RB20. But since then, RB30, RB32. McCaffrey comes back last week, RB31. Now, I'm a little worried about Christian McCaffrey, Graham, because it looks like he's going to be out this week. If this shoulder injury lingers, are they going to shut him down for the rest of the season? I'm not so sure that Mike Davis is going to just step back into the production he had earlier in the year. And the reason is Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel has been involved a lot in this offense recently as a rusher, a receiver, doing most of those things. Really has been fantastic. He is actually has the second most rushing yards of any wide receiver this year, right behind Robert Woods. So I'm curious, Curtis Samuel, what do you think about him moving forward? And now if Mike Davis gets this role, do you think Davis can return, or do you think maybe the clock struck 12 on him and there's going to be other options in the Panther offense to make up for a potential loss of McCaffrey?
Yeah, so shout out to Joe Brady, man. Like, talk about a player who was just completely misused last year in Curtis Samuel. They used him as like a downfield target. It was just bizarre. Like, that's just not the type of player Curtis Samuel is. They're using him way close to the line of scrimmage now, and we're seeing it. I mean, his catch rate was 50% last year, around 50%. I think last I looked, it's like 90% this year. They're just using him way close to the line of scrimmage, and like you mentioned, giving him the ball in the backfield like you expect. You know, the only thing is he's only going to get 3 or 4 carries, and the bulk of the work is going to go to Davis when they do go into their typical like run game stuff. I'm a little bit concerned about Davis's effectiveness, and mm-hmm. maybe him getting this week, this past week with McCaffrey back kind of off will help. But, you know, over the Panthers' previous 3 games before McCaffrey came back, he was averaging just 3.4 yards per carry and 3.8 yards per target, much more effective in the 3 previous games. So, Davis dealing with, you know, bell cow workload kind of unexpectedly, and maybe his effectiveness waned a little bit because of it. But, yeah, there's no doubt the volume will certainly be there once again for as long as McCaffrey is out. And, you know, Davis was an RB1 with McCaffrey out, and I don't see – even if the effectiveness is down, the volume will definitely propel him forward.
Graham, I may be overthinking this a bit, but I did put DJ Moore out in my article this week as a sell. And my rationale is that DJ Moore is producing with the receiving yards, but as you started this interview with, it is a weekly game and seasonal, and it's very hard to predict when he's going to pop. So I was saying that maybe because his overall body of work this year has been strong, you could maybe make a case to trade him. I think he's behind Robbie Anderson. McCaffrey came back last week, and DJ Moore was really relegated to a third option in the offense. Am I nuts? Are you bullish on DJ Moore? Do you think there's enough to be concerned here now?
No, there's definitely more than enough to be concerned. I mean, Robbie Anderson is the number one. He's the number one wide receiver in Carolina. Last 6 weeks, Anderson has seen 56 targets. Moore has 37. This is one of the reasons I was concerned about Moore and drafting him in the third round is just, you know, they added Anderson. This is a new offense, new quarterback, new offensive coordinator. DJ Moore is awesome. And you know, I still think he's, if you want to buy, if you've been wanting to buy in Dynasty, this is now the time, because his price just started getting crazy this summer. But for season long, certainly time to panic. And right now he's really just looking like a low end wide receiver three.
And the last question I have for you here is at San Francisco tight end position, George Kittle out for the year, Jimmy G out for the year, Jordan Reed, Ross Dwelly. You have Nick Mullins back there. They're going to have to get production. Kendrick Bourne went back into the COVID protocol now, so they are really weak. Reed did have the two touchdowns earlier in the season, but he's always an injury concern. If you have to pick one of those two, where are you going?
Oh man, it's tough. It's really tough. You know, Reed came back and just barely played, but obviously he, like you mentioned, he was out for like 5, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. I think long term it'll be Reed. I wouldn't be surprised to see Dwelly and Reed split targets this coming week. But I think long term it'll probably be Reed as the number one, but you know, that obviously carries risk.
Yeah, and especially because you have seen it before with Reed. And like you said, if it's a wasteland and you're looking to make a splash, I don't know if Ross Dwelly is a splash-esque type of player, right? I think Reed is definitely. Yeah,
he's not.
Right. That could be the name of the podcast, Ross Dwelly, no splash. Backfield dilemma time. A couple players came up on social media. Want to get your thoughts. Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know. I guess Dalton's going to be back after the bye, but Tony Pollard is getting more of a role in this offense. And as you said, it's been struggling. So Zeke, is he a low-end RB1 rest of season? And Tony Pollard, do you think this is sort of their coaching staff trying to figure out what they have with him?
You know, I think it's a number of things. Zeke just hasn't been as effective this year. I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure if he's, you know, that hamstring injury that he popped up with this week is more than he's let on, or he's been dealing with it for a number of weeks. But I mean, the facts are that Zeke has just not been the same player this year. And like you said, he's not gotten the same role. You know, over the last month, his snaps and carries have been cut. And Tony Pollard's just looked more explosive at times. And So I think it's a number of things. Like maybe Zeke's just not 100%. Maybe, you know, the Cowboys are just trying to get something going with their run game. You know, they've been mix and matching their offensive line all year because of injuries. I think once they get out of the bye and Dalton's back, Zeke will be fine as like a low end RB1. But again, you know, no Dak. There's just the Cowboys touchdown equity just completely falls off the map. So. Yeah, it's kind of tough out there. You know, Zeke was trending, you know, to start the year, just like we talked about with all the receivers. He was trending towards being, you know, locked in RB top three running back every single week, kind of matchup proof. But now that's gone by the wayside here.
Yeah, he's got to see the receiving yardage as well. That's been the issue. He's ranked third in receptions. He has 36, but he only has had 4 total receptions over the past 3 games. Dalton comes back, that could help. But I agree. I think there's concerns there, and it's they want Dalton under center, because if he's not under center, we saw last year in Pittsburgh when they didn't have a top quarterback, they can really struggle. Detroit, DeAndre Swift tempted us here. Graham had a lot of games where he was catching passes out of the backfield. Kerryon Johnson continues to come on the field yet not get touches. I mean, is there anything more infuriating than that? Adrian Peterson, of course, they're still sticking with him. DeAndre Swift, rest of season, go.
Yeah, I've been trying to to try to buy Swift a little bit here. You know, the first 4 weeks or so in the season, they just didn't play him. I mean, it was bizarre. Like, they just didn't give him the ball, came out of the bye, and his snaps and carries have actually come up. I think over the last four games, he's actually slightly out-carried Adrian Peterson, but, like, only by, like, two or three carries. But, yeah, that said, I mean, they like to play Kerryon Johnson in this, like, jogging role, I guess, where he just, like, goes out and just stands. I don't really know what they're doing. Lines are not sharp. But yeah, as long as Matthew Stafford is healthy, I'm still kind of bullish on Swift as, like, a low-end RB2. You just have to understand that, you know, this Lions staff is just going to continue to do things like play Kerryon Johnson unnecessarily and give Adrian Peterson the ball.
Empty touches. Oh, my goodness. Or empty plays, I should say. Last one, Cam Akers. Earlier in the year, I ended up having J.J. Zacharyson on, and he made a nice prediction there about if you're looking at an ambiguous backfield, you really should look at the player that's the cheapest. Particularly, he mentioned the Rams with Darrell Henderson, saying that if you're looking for someone to pop, that low-end running back, that would be a place to go with. I'm curious now, Cam Akers, can he come back as a rookie and make a splash here rest of season?
I would love to say yes. Early in the year, Sean McVay was kind of hyping him up, just trying to give him some confidence because he didn't play well in the opener and then got hurt. And then, you know, obviously we've dealt with the last couple weeks before they went on their bye where he just didn't play. They gave him a few more snaps their last game before the bye. But, yeah, I think, you know, right now Darrell Henderson's the better player. I mean, it's crazy. You know, I loved Darrell Henderson coming out, liked Cam Akers coming out too. But we're seeing the ceiling with Henderson now. I mean, he's one of the most effective running backs in the league. He actually leads the league in success rate. I think it's going to be Henderson as the number one moving forward. And then the big question is, can Cam Akers kind of fill out that, you know, beat out Malcolm Brown for, you know, the 8 to 10, 12 touch change of pace role? And, you know, as we've seen now for 2 years, Sean McVay likes Malcolm Brown. He's going to continue to play him.
Thank a teacher time. Give a shout out here, Graham, to somebody in your K-12 years that you had as a teacher who was a huge positive influence on you. COVID going here, ravaging schools. It's just really difficult on teachers now. So let's get some positive mojo going. Someone you just want to thank here that, you know, really had a good difference on you, made a big difference on you when you were a kid.
Definitely tough. My aunt is a teacher down in Florida, and this has just been a tough year. She's a science teacher in eighth grade. I know it's been... they've been in and out of the classroom. It's just been really, really tough. But I guess my shout out would be to Miss Gall, a ninth grade English teacher. She was awesome. I mean, I think in that class we did this like, it was obviously English, but like we broke down like song lyrics and like kind of dove into the meaning of them. And I love that type of stuff. So yeah, Miss Gall for sure. Shout out to her. Hope she's still teaching, actually. I'm not sure if she's still teaching at the high school I went to.
English and math when you're a freshman, too. Those are the cornerstones there that can really make a difference. My English teacher in ninth grade was phenomenal. Really intimidating guy. Walked around with the stick and the glasses.
Oh,
those are memories. Yeah, those are memories that could etch into your mind, but they really do stick with you. And obviously, with what you're doing right now, I'm sure the English, you know, the literacy is coming in handy for sure.
No doubt. No doubt. I had a good English teacher my freshman year of college too. I think English is just kind of fallen by the wayside, which is really sad, but it is what it is.
Yeah, well, that's a good, nice thank you there. Hopefully she's out there listening for sure. Let's go DFS, Graham. We're going to win $1 million here so we can retire and I can hopefully maybe have my own business like you do as well. Let's go position by position. Want to give a sneaky sort of low-end DFS play for each one. Let's start with quarterback. Always looking to pay down. Last week, millionaire lineup on DraftKings had Drew Lock, so that was a positive. Is there a cheap quarterback play this week, someone you think who could really pop and have big upside?
Yeah, it's frustrating. I wrote up Drew Lock as like one of my favorite tournament plays this past week and didn't playing myself, so that's fun.
Yeah, that's great.
Love when that happens. This week, I think it's Derek Carr. Derek Carr's playing pretty well, man. Like, he's playing really well. The bigger concern in this game will be, can the Broncos keep pace and keep up scoring? But Derek Carr's playing quietly really well. Broncos' pass defense is pretty overrated, I think, right now. They were without two of their top corners last week. We'll see if they get Boye back, but yeah, I like Derek Carr a little bit at 5,400 on DraftKings this week, and obviously you can stack him up with Darren Waller, pray Henry Ruggs finally gets a deep downfield target.
Yeah, that's a good one. Bryce Callahan also, hopefully they can return for Denver because he made a huge difference. He's number two in PFF cornerback ratings and coverage ratings. So that would be a good one as well. And you're right, Carr's been spreading it around. They don't necessarily have a big play guy, but they just do a bunch of little things here and there. And he's had a good season, a successful season. Next is running back. You know, curious to hear your thoughts. First overall for a deep play, but then second, Chase Edmonds, because, you know, last week, people have recency bias, Graham. They get burned on a player. They get frustrated. Chase Edmonds had a ton of volume last week. He did not produce in a game with over 60 points scored against the Dolphins. Certainly was frustrating, but not sure what's going to happen with Kenyon Drake. He may be back this week. Curious there, how do you value, if you get burned by a player who gets a lot of volume, does that affect you or do you just stay with the process? And then, of course, you know, give me a low-end play that you like.
Yeah, no. I think you can't be biased towards outcomes. You know, Chase Edmonds was an awesome play last week, and I think everybody knew it. He ended up being, you know, really popular, and he failed, and that's okay. I mean, he still got 28 touches. I mean, if you were to tell me Chase Edmonds is going to get 28 touches as a home favorite against the Dolphins, like, yeah, sign me up. It just didn't work out. Prices come down this week. They get the Bills at home, and Bills have been terrible against the run, especially when they're spread out. Coming into last week, I think they're allowing a league high in terms of like success rate against 11 personnel. So if we get Edmonds again this week with no Kenyon Drake, who is, I think, back in practice today. But if we get Edmonds again, I'm going to be back in on that. For cheap value, this week is tough. It'll be interesting to see what, you know, what shakes out with the Bears running back situation. I kind of like DeAndre Swift at 5,100 on DK again. I was on him a little bit last week. But yeah, running back is really tough in general. This running back value will be really tough this week. Maybe we'll get Duke Johnson, like we talked about. If David Johnson can't get out of concussion protocol, I imagine Duke Johnson will be pretty popular if David misses. So Duke and Swift.
Yeah, and just a word of caution, too, for everyone out there. You know, sometimes you get tempted on a player like a DJ Dallas. You know, he had a big game 2 weeks ago. Then you start hearing the rumors Travis Homer's going to be worked in, Alex Collins, the ghost of Alex Collins. Just have to be careful. Want to make sure you don't go too low, right? I mean, Duke Johnson has a pedigree here. We know he's going to get the volume, but always tricky, Graham. You don't want to just grab the cheapest guy because of a knee-jerk reaction from the week before.
Yeah, I played DJ Dallas 2 weeks ago, when we got the word, I actually late swapped on him when we got word that Carson Hyde were going to miss. But yeah, this week, it was interesting. I was kind of surprised they played Homer so much, but obviously them boosting up Collins too just kind of made that whole situation murky.
Wide receiver, you can break the slate there. One or two big catches, call it the Marquez Valdez Scantling rule, right? One or two catches can really get you get you some points there. So give me a wide receiver you like here with big upside.
Yeah, you know, you just have to hope Marquez Valdez-Scantling actually catches the ball.
I know. Oh, my God, I know.
it's just so frustrating with that guy every week. I think it's Deontay week again. I mean, the price is still very, it's very easy to get to him. The role we've seen, again, you know, 10 or more targets in pretty much every game that he's been full out in, and he's off the injury report. They're playing the Bengals. That game should be up in pace and have plenty of points. I still think Deontay still carries like a 20, 25 point ceiling. And Brandon Cooks is still way too cheap. I mean, he is still way, way too cheap on DraftKings. Like him too.
Yeah, and he's out targeting Will Fuller. I mean, I put him in my DFS article a few weeks ago. He pulled that zero, you know, so I'm a little shaken by that. But, you know, gonna stay objective here and trust the process. Last one, tight end, who you got? Wasteland, give it somebody.
Oh, yeah, it is a wasteland. Yeah, I mean, you know, that position this year has been really easy to punt, and you can just kind of play for 5-6 points and just really hope that, like, you know, the most popular tight end doesn't go nuts. This week on the main slate, this week we don't have Travis Kelce. So, you know, it kind of changes strategy too. I mean, Kelce's usually priced as like a high-end wide receiver one. I kind of like Austin Hooper for all the reasons we talked about before. His price hasn't come up yet. And I think you could play if you really want to punt the position and just pray for those 5 or 6 points, you can just go down and play one of these Seahawks tight ends. But good luck knowing which one it is, because last week it was Jacob Hollister of all people.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely great points there across the board. Time for redraft lightning round. Give me the better play here in week 10. I'll give you two guys. Better 2QB streamer, Drew Lock against Vegas or Tua, who really surprised me last week at Arizona, at home now against the Chargers.
Yeah, Tua surprised me too, man. They opened up their offense a little bit. You know, his first start, they just kind of kept everything close to the line of scrimmage, gave him a bunch of easy reads, and they really didn't have to do anything. Last week, they opened it up, threw it deep more. I still think I like Locke a little bit more in that game. Broncos should be trailing. Vegas's secondary is not very good. But yeah, Tua, it was good to see him trend upwards after kind of a rough start.
Bigger running back smash spot, James Robinson at Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay's been a sieve. Or James Conner home versus the Bengals.
Yeah, Packers' run defense has been terrible. But big concern in that game is the Jags are 14-point dogs. And frankly, they should be like 25-point dogs.
Yeah.
Robinson might get game scripted out of that one, so I'm going to go with Conner.
Better flex play. Zach Moss has taken over the backfield, it looks like, at least the early down work at Arizona. He's also getting some goal line touches, which is rare as well. Or Wayne Gallman, slow and steady there against Philadelphia.
Slow and steady is perfect. That is Wayne Gallman's new nickname. I love that. I'd go Moss here. We'll see if Devonta Freeman gets back. But yeah, Zach Moss looks like the better back there. And like you said, he is getting those carries near the goal line.
Amazingly, Graham, I've received some social media vitriol at Adam Thielen. They're getting frustrated. So I had to ask you, Justin Jefferson at Chicago or Robbie Anderson against a tough Tampa defense, although they didn't show it last week.
Yeah, they didn't. Bucks didn't even show up in that game. I'm going to go Robbie here. The big thing with the Vikings is just like, will they win or lose? Because if they're going to win, they're not going to throw the ball. Like Kirk Cousins is averaging like literally 18 pass attempts per game when they win, and in their losses, he's averaging over 30. Yeah. So this week against the Bears, inept offense, I'm going to be off the Vikings pass offense again, I think.
Great movies that I love. Memento 7. Peter Overzet told me about Get Out. I stayed up till 4 a.m. watching it. You got a favorite movie with a surprise ending?
Oh, Get Out is awesome.
Yeah.
I think I watched that last year when it came out. We were watching like a bunch of horror movies throughout, you know, Halloween week and stuff. I hadn't seen A Quiet Place yet, but if you haven't seen Quiet Place is awesome. I don't know if it's like a surprise ending, but it's just super exciting, good thriller.
Totally agree. Great one. I've started this question recently, looking to get into your Vegas mind here. Is there a pick you like against the spread, a team or a line here that you think, you know, if you were going to put a couple of shekels down, you would look to?
I haven't really looked too much into it this week. Let's see. Just pulled it up. Rams are favored against the Seahawks. That's interesting by 2. Yep, I'd probably bet the Seahawks on that one. And then I think the Packers are just going to kill the Jags. So if you want to go super safe and put a couple bucks down on the Packers, that might be one.
Yeah, and if you look at our Bet Labs data that we go through the Bet Labs data, take a look at it. Aaron Rodgers has been fantastic coming off of rest and against inferior opponents at home. So, God, where do you think you go there for DFS? Do you go Aaron Jones or do you go again back to Devontae with the good chalk?
Oh, my God. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers are going to do whatever they want. They're going to do whatever they want with the ball. If they tried throughout that whole game, Davante Adams could just go completely nuts. Yeah. For DFS, I think Rodgers and Adams are not going to be popular because they're, you know, they're up in price and people would be concerned the Jags can't keep pace, which they won't be able to. But yeah.
Good point. Great, man. This has been fantastic. One more question, then I'll get you out of here. Trade deadline, like I said, coming up. Is there a player that you would encourage people to target? Someone you say, look, if this person's available and you can get them, you know, maybe running back, wide receiver, possibly tight end, that you think could be a fantasy playoff difference maker, who would you recommend them going after right now, next couple days?
Yeah. You know, we'll see, you know, with trade deadlines coming up, it's always tough, you know, because it's just really so dependent on leagues. But I kind of like Tyler Lockett. I mean, you know, the guy has just been so up and down. But their stretch run is really nice, man. Like really nice. You know, they get the Eagles in week 12, they get the Giants in week 13, Jets in week 14. Then they play Washington in week 15. A little bit of a tougher matchup against the Rams in week 16, but the Rams are not that great through the slot. So, I think Tyler Lockett is like, you know, both Metcalf and Lockett have week winning potential, but I think the, you know, Lockett owners could be getting, you know, a little bit frustrated just because he's been so up and down and might be someone that you could, you know, buy at, you know, 85 cents on the dollar compared to, you know, a couple weeks ago coming off that Cardinals game.
Yeah, that's a great point. He's got Troy Hill this week, whose coverage rating is awful. You're right about that. He's recency bias with Metcalf. Definitely somebody who could pop here. Folks, Graham Barfield, amazing, amazing work. Co-owner, director of analytics, fantasypoints.com. Got to check it out. They're doing great work over there as well. Follow him on Twitter, at Graham Barfield. Just one of the pillars of fantasy football here in the community. Thanks so much, Graham. Great job, man. Great 45 minutes, and you gave us some fantastic stuff, as always.
Appreciate you, Mike. Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes under the Fantasy Football Mailbag, a RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, so follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio and at Randall Rant. Make sure you tell a friend, and don't forget to sign up for a 10% discount on our podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. It's a no-brainer, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
The wait is finally over, folks. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win the season. From the game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Go and head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.